You're listening to the Radio Cafe, coming to you from the Santa Fe New Mexican and RadioCafe.org, where you can contact us at any time. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte Domondi. Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation moves public education in bold new directions through grants, programs, and advocacy. Funding learning initiatives and community programs, visit lanlfoundation.org for more information. And many thanks to the Lanham Foundation for support of the Radio Cafe. I'm very happy now to welcome Marcus Lindeen. He's director of the film The Raft, which is screening at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts, here in Santa Fe. Welcome.
Thank you.
So this is a fascinating documentary about a kind of social experiment that took place in 1973. A Mexican anthropologist named Santiago Genovese put together a group of 11 people, both men and women. They were from different countries, different backgrounds, to sail across the Atlantic on a small kind of boat, a raft, basically. It had a sail, it had no motor, quite primitive, very crowded. And you made a documentary about it 43 years later. How did you come across this story and decide to make a movie about it?
I was looking for new material a few years back, and I was reading a lot of stories on people who used to do radical things together in the 70s, and I had this idea that I wanted to reunite a group of older people that had done something radical in their youth. So I was looking at radical theater groups of the 70s, queer communes, etc. And then I found this book that was called The 100 Strangest Science Experiments of All Time, and this expedition was one of them. And as soon as I started reading about it, it was just such a fascinating story, so rich with material, and it just blew my mind, basically, and I decided I need to investigate this further and make a film.
So it was supposed to be, I mean, as you say, 100 science experiments. It was supposed to be a kind of science experiment. What was the concept behind this transatlantic trip?
I mean, the Mexican anthropologist that initiated it and that was also himself part of the expedition, he set out basically to try to understand why people fight and how is, you know, violence and aggression is manifesting itself among humans, and maybe trying to solve the riddle of violence altogether and have a solution to world peace. I mean, that was the grand mission of the experiment. As a way of doing that, he thought that he could isolate a group of people out on a raft where they would be far away from civilization, and there he could study them better than if they would be on land. And he'd choose deliberately people who had very different backgrounds, who were from different religions and spoke different languages, to try to see if he could kind of create friction and see if that would generate some kind of conflicts for him to study.
And the thing is, they were also all pretty young, and the idea was that they would be interacting sexually and there would be some kind of primate conflict over ovulating females. I mean, it seems incredibly unscientific in the sense that this anthropologist, he seemed to really be quite not only manipulative, but he really had preconceived notions of what would happen and what should happen. And when people were not becoming violent and they weren't engaging in aggression or conflict, it kind of pissed him off.
Totally. I mean, I think that he really didn't get what he was looking for. I mean, he thought that this experiment would generate a kind of behavior that didn't manifest itself. So once they were out in the ocean, quite the opposite happened. In fact, people didn't really fight. They kind of collaborated rather because of the situation being dangerous and people wanted to be able to survive. So when they didn't, I mean, he instead of taking that as a scientific result, he panicked, I think. He didn't get the results he was looking for, so he started to manipulate and to basically interfere with his own experiment. And that's when things started to get out of hand a little bit. And also when he really started to make things dangerous, in fact, himself, by causing this kind of rift between him and his participants. So, I mean, him interfering with experiments basically resulted in the group kind of turning against him. And that was a conflict that almost got a deadly outcome.
it didn't, which was also kind of a testament to the basically nonviolent attitude of everybody on that ship, except for him. For the film, you built a replica of the raft, of the original raft, in a studio in Stockholm, Sweden, where you live, and you invited the surviving members of the trip to talk about the memories, their memories of this little over three-month trip. How did they respond? First of all, how did you track them down? And then how did they respond when you asked them to participate in the making of the film?
I mean, I had this idea that I wanted to recreate the raft, to create a kind of situation for them to help them evoke the memories from the past. So the raft in the studio basically provides a kind of memory stage or a kind of theatrical experience where they can engage with each other, but also with a spatial representation of what they had been through over 40 years ago. This idea wasn't so easy to pull off. It took some time to relocate the participants because they were all spread out all over the world, from Japan to Angola to the United States and so on. And in the books that the anthropologist had written about the experiment, he had given them anonymous names to protect their identities. So it was really difficult to find them. And it took almost 2 years of detective search in several different countries to find them all. And we managed to find all the seven people who are still alive today to participate in the reunion in the studio, which I was really happy about.
What was it like for them? I mean, were any of them hesitant? Were they happy to reunite with one another?
All of them were really happy to get the call and have this opportunity to reunite. And they hadn't seen each other for over 40 years. So it was a big thing to be able to get an opportunity to kind of reconnect. So people were generally really positive, except the Swedish captain, Maria. She was very hesitant of participating, and she had felt very hurt and a lot of shame, I think, after all the writings in the press around the experiment, where it was called the sex raft and the love raft and so on. And she felt angry also towards Santiago, the anthropologist, to have put her through a lot of stress, basically, because she had the responsibility for everyone's lives, basically, on board the raft. So she was hesitant in the beginning, but so it took some time to convince her. But when she finally came to the studio, she was really happy to see the other people, and she was really happy to share also finally her experience of what really happened out there.
She was such an interesting person. Her name is Maria, as you said, and she was, I think, the world's first female sea captain. Is that right?
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, so she really had, I mean, she's really a unique personality, and she had something to protect. I mean, she was a pioneer in her field. She was, as you say, the first woman who had a professional captain degree. And so she was worried about her career, that it would be damaged somehow from being part of this scandal. And that was what was her fear afterwards, basically. And that's why she didn't want to speak about it.
It really is interesting and sort of telling to see the media coverage at the time in 1973. As you say, it was called the sex raft, the love raft. And the idea that it was some kind of orgy or whatever, that just wasn't the case. There was some sex, as there always is some sex wherever there are human beings under the age of whatever. But that was not the focus of it. And it's such a statement about our sex-crazed or puritanical media that would be the focus of it, when that really wasn't.
Right, exactly. And I think that, I mean, it was partly Santiago's own fault that it became known as a sex raft, but because him as a scientist, he had, in a press conference prior to departuring, he had said that he wanted to study violence and aggression, but through doing that, he wanted to also look at other forms of human behavior, where sexuality would be one of those behaviors that he would investigate. Of course, as soon as he mentioned that sexuality would be part of this experiment, all the journalists just went crazy for that and started to speculate about all kinds of things that would happen between men and women cast out at sea, you know. So, and it was unfair in a sense to the experiment, because, as you say, it didn't really happen. I mean, I guess it could have. I mean, and Santiago, he sure tried to get people to have sex with each other, just like he tried to have people fight. but he didn't really succeed. Because of course, when you're you know, in a small surface and there's nowhere to hide and you're confronted with the same people for 3 months, you don't really want to have sex in front of other people like that. So it's it didn't really happen the way that he had planned it to.
What was it like for you to be encountering the work of this anthropologist, Santiago Genovese? I mean, for me watching it, I thought, what a terrible scientist, and what a sort of terrible person, you know, who put these people through that. And they did such a good job in spite of him. But you, as the filmmaker, had to find all this footage and encounter his writings. What was that process like for you?
It was actually quite inspiring, I must say, because I think that he might not have been like the best, you know, scientist, but he wasn't really an inspiring visionary artist, I would say. I mean, he was also parallel to his work in academia. He was also a poet, and his project was quite grandiose in a ridiculous sense, but also almost in a poetic sense. I mean, this whole idea of taking a kind of microcosm of humanity and just put them on a raft and then just go out into the ocean in search of, you know, the essence of human behavior. I mean, that's almost like a myth, you know, a Greek myth, but in reality. So there is something cool, I think, about what he tried to achieve. And he even wrote that he wanted science to be more like experimental art, like an abstract painting, like it should just dare to be, you know, wild and crazy and not have all the answers up front and so on. And so even though the things got really skewed and he kind of failed, it was a quite inspiring adventure, I think. So that was inspiring, I think, to me. But when we were filming, I was of course very much parting with the women, basically, who are most of the people who are still alive, and they're not very nice with him. I mean, they feel that he was, you know, he was a sexist, he was very manipulative, you know, he was a racist even. I mean, they're really saying bad things about him, and I kind of, you know, took their side and felt like, yeah, Santiago is someone who is really a villain of the story. And then, you know, after some time when we were shooting, I realized that there are some connections here between me and him. Because look at me. I mean, me as a documentary filmmaker, I'm not a scientist, but I'm kind of redoing his whole experiment. I've built a raft just like him. I have, you know, gathered people from all over the world just like he did. And now, just like he wanted things to happen between the participants in the Atlantic 40 years ago, I want things to happen in the studio between the people in my film. So there were some similarities that I needed to address, I think, as a filmmaker. And one of the consequences of that was to give him a voice in the film and have an actor narrate excerpts from the books he wrote.
Yeah, at first I wasn't sure. I mean, it's an actor who wrote those, read those writings. I wasn't sure whether it was him or not, because there is surviving footage and you do show a lot of that. So we see the survivors now, but we see what they looked like then on the boat. How did you find that?
Yeah, the footage is really unique. It's a really wonderful 16 millimeter archive footage from that was shot on the raft. And I knew that there had been a camera on board from the books that I had read about it. So I went to Mexico to try to find the material, and I didn't find it anywhere. And I looked through all the film archives, and it was just nowhere to be found. And I was about to give up when I finally, in his basement, the scientist's basement, he had passed away by then, but I had access to his basement and went through his archive. And then I found like a little paper that proved that they had been developed just... They had been indexed under a misspelling of the name of the raft. It was really ridiculous, but it was just this small little detail that finally a clue that led me to find these 8 hours of wonderful color material. And when I did find that, it was like a treasure. I knew I could make the film.
Yeah, because that is so much of what makes the film really vivid and real, is seeing these people doing what they do and seeing, and for me especially, seeing this sea captain Maria, who now is a very dignified older woman and then was so kind of young and strong and really inspiring of confidence. Like, I'd want to be on a boat where she was captain. And so totally. To be able to see that was really interesting.
Right. No, but I think that's really moving, actually. I love that with documentaries also, when you get the opportunity to you know, see how people have aged, and when there is like a past and a now, and there is a good amount of years in between. I think that's really strong. It's really, I really find that amusing.
Well, one of the women was a black woman, an American woman, who told an amazing story that she had never told at the time and never told anybody since. It came out in your film, which was about how she experienced the souls of the people who died in the Middle Passage, crossing the same ocean from Africa to America centuries earlier. And it was such a profound and kind of almost mystical experience that she had. What was that? Describe that for you as somebody witnessing it.
Yeah, it was fascinating to me to collect all the stories that people had from the raft, which was really personal stories. And one of them was Faye, the African-American woman who felt this kind of connection with her slave ancestors, basically, who had crossed the same path as they were going with the raft. And she had a really profound, as you say, like spiritual moment connecting with them. And it's a very moving moment of the film, and she hasn't shared this experience until now in the movie when she tells it to Mary, one of the other participants. And for me, I mean, that was also telling in a sense for me that was surprising to me, because I thought that if you spend, you know, 3 months together isolated with a group of people, I would presume that you wouldn't have any secrets left. You would just have, you know, you would have told each other everything. And yet they hadn't, you know, and they had really kept very important moments away from each other that even took place on the raft or just prior to it. Like, for example, Mary, the woman that Faye shares her story with, she shares one story back to Faye about basically being on the raft as a kind of escape from an abusive husband who she was afraid that had actually tried to kill her just, you know, months before they went on the raft. So, and she never shared that. No one knew about that. And that was really like an example of a personal experience of violence and aggression, which could have been interesting material for the social anthropologists that wanted to study aggression and violence to listen to. But I think that was a problem with the scientist back then, that he didn't listen. And hopefully this film is providing a space where they can share these stories and listen in another way.
The story of Mary was so interesting to me, because this is a woman who she felt safer on a raft crossing the Atlantic with no motor and one little sail than she did at home with her husband. I mean, that was so kind of moving to me and so telling about what domestic violence is like. And I wondered whether, I mean, you know, the experiment did not work out as Santiago Genovese wanted it to, where there would be conflict and violence, and then he could study it as if he were studying, you know, primates or wild dogs or something like that. But, I mean, looking at it again from the outside and from all these years later, if his goal was world peace, it was kind of an optimistic experiment, in the sense that when people have a common goal and they need to survive, they are very peaceful, at least if this raft trip is any indication.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that that's quite a hopeful result, in a sense, from this experiment, that people, you know, rather, despite their differences, they collaborated because they were in this very dangerous situation, in a sense that they needed each other to survive. And I think also that maybe the fact that Santiago became a kind of not really a dictator, but a kind of enemy to the group, someone who they could almost form a sort of revolution against, you know, like, that is also something that unites people, I think, when there is like when they feel that there is power that is, you know, suppressing them. I think that's something that also unites people. So not only the dangerous situation, but also to have a common enemy.
Right, right. So Is this work considered to have any value, do you know, by the scientific community?
From what I understand, I mean, like, people from the academic world don't really refer to this experiment now the way that we refer to other social experiments of the 70s, like the Milgram test or the Stanford Prison Experiment, right. Things that has resonated for decades afterwards. And I mean, of course, Santiago had hoped for this to have a kind of, you know, meaning in the scientific world. And from what I can tell, it didn't really have any interesting results, really. But from an artistic point of view, I think that there are like a story to be told and things to be learned, I think, from the experiment. And there's a potential to form something interesting, even if it scientifically was a kind of failure.
What are your feelings about the whole experience now that the film is done and out there in the world?
I mean, I think that, to be honest, I think that in the beginning I was quite critical to Santiago and to these kinds of experiments. I was really like questioning these kind of social studies of the 70s that there were more examples of also where you can feel that what can you really learn about humanity at large from studying a group of 11 people on a raft in such a specific circumstance. I mean, maybe the only thing you can learn from that is how these 11 people would interact or behave in a raft trip together. And that doesn't represent anything else. But the more years I have spent with this project and also talking to everyone involved, I mean, I think I've started to appreciate other dimensions of the project, which is more about poetry or about also like hope, also like that there's you know, like in the simple things like we talked about earlier, that it's quite hopeful that people tend to collaborate despite their differences, for example, in hard situations.
Marcus Lindin is director of the film The Raft, which is screening at the CCA here in Santa Fe. For more information, ccasantafe.org. And if people want more about the film, you can link to it on my website, radiocafe.org. Marcus Lindin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation moves public education in bold new directions through grants, programs, and advocacy. Supporting social and emotional needs of students and teachers, visit lanlfoundation.org for more information. And many thanks to the Lanl Foundation for supporting the Radio Cafe. You've been listening to the Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte Domondi. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican, an independent newspaper since 1849. The New Mexican is on the web at santafenewmexican.com, where you can find out about our community and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes of the Radio Cafe on the web at radiocafe.org. And if you want to send us any feedback on the show, ideas or comments, please write an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.